You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 3rd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
hump day.
That's right. Made it halfway through a short week, so I guess it's kind of hump day-ish. Cloudy skies here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison on State Street. Glad to have you along. Fall has arrived here in the state of Wisconsin. Brittany Merlot, our great meteorologist, says we're going to feel much more fall-like. Temperatures almost 20 degrees below normal for highs here in the next 2 or 3 days or so. Going to recover somewhat by the end of the weekend and maybe close to 80 by Sunday or Monday, but get out those jackets, folks. And windy. I walked up State Street here to our friends at Wonder State Coffee before the show, and wow, if I had hair, it would have blown away. But anyway, glad to have you along on the Wednesday edition here after the Labor Day holiday. Things are back to normal. The gang is back together here on a Wednesday, joining us from his studios at beautiful Lake Wissota, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota, and a former Republican like myself, a good old River Falls boy, now the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us from a secure, undisclosed location outside our nation's capital, Trigvi Olson. Gentlemen, how are you?
Well, we're good because we could spend a lot of time reminiscing about childhood cartoons during the break there just now. Yeah. Underdog, Tennessee Tuxedo, Commander McBrag, All Go Gophers. There were a lot of dogs there, but you had Quick Draw McGraw in there too.
Sure. So Scooby-Doo.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by. You know?
But when we all grew up, Saturday cartoons was a thing. There was no on demand. Yeah. We weren't even wealthy enough to have a VCR when I was a kid, and so it was just like you had to be up at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning if you wanted to watch Roadrunner, Bugs Bunny, or Grape Ape, or one of my personal favorites, Hong Kong Phooey. That was right?
Number one super guy.
Yes, right. Caveman.
could we do an hour on 70 Saturday morning cartoons? You betcha.
Yes, we could. Guys, what was it? One or two top favorites, Pat?
Oh, well, I was very much a Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, Warner Brothers kind of person. So that was me. But I did like some of the other, Rocky and Bullwinkle, and Underdog was another favorite.
Trigvi?
I liked Underdog. I like Scooby-Doo. What else did I like? Gilligan's Island. That's not really a cartoon.
For a short time, it was.
Yes, it was. Yes. And especially when they did the crossover things like Scooby-Doo meets Gilligan's Island and Scooby-Doo meets the Harlem Globetrotters and that ridiculous stuff. You know what I didn't like was that Sid and Marty Krofft stuff, like H.R. Puffin stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Then there were a couple of others like and Land of the Lost. That one was never my vibe, plus minus on. Yeah.
That was a weird one.
Everybody loved dinosaurs. So there you go. Scintillating.
Zommers?
I still had Saturday morning cartoons too. Like Scooby-Doo was still on.
It was
sometimes
still
reruns, sometimes new shows, because there's been many incarnations of Scooby-Doo. But my favorites were honestly when they played the ones from the 70s. I loved watching Rocky and Bullwinkle and what was in my brain? Looney Tunes, the most obvious thing. Why did I forget that?
Because everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoons. We learned from Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry was another one. Classical music with Jerry and the piano.
Yeah.
I mean, that The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all of that.
But, well, now it's all like real.
We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap where, let's talk about, dogs need a home. And let's get kids into science. And, it's just all that kind of stuff now. By the way, this is the only thing that is on the Civic Media Radio Network right now. It's 11 minutes past the hour at 2 o'clock. All right, guys, let's get into a slightly more serious fare here in terms of politics happening across the state of Wisconsin and in Washington, D.C. I want to start with this because especially why Pat is here, a former Democratic state senator here in the legislature, get his take and Trigvi as a Republican strategist as well. Our old friends at the Democratic Party, some are still high on the hog. David Hogg, in particular, who spent a short time as a vice chair of the Democratic National Committee until he announced that he and his personal PAC were going to, that's Political Action Committee, by the way, we're going to target certain Democrats in Congress, incumbents, because they either, in his view, were too old or were not voting progressive enough and get rid of them. Well, it turns out that my least favorite Martin, Ken Martin, who beat Ben Wickler for the chair of the DNC, so there was a big falling out and David Hogg got pushed out of the DNC and now he's off on his own going rogue. He's a feral hog politically. And so now this week he had some comments. He was questioned here. I believe this is by The Hill. He was at and saying, now here is his mission. Here's David Hogg from this week.
What I would say is we are not challenging people that are in anything less than, like, I would say a D plus nine race that we're almost certain that it's almost certainly going to be Democratic. And we will be funding candidates that are running in competitive races to challenge Republican incumbents at the same time, right? I don't want us to lose the majority in the House because somebody, just because we may not agree with somebody fully where they are on guns or something like that, even at least right now when I feel like democracy is on the line.
That is David Hogg and his Political Action Committee talking about what he's going to do. Pat Kreitlow, as a Democrat, is this where, and I'm not going to, look, David Hogg is a prominent figure in today's Democratic politics, but is this, plus nine districts in 2026? I'm not sure. For those that don't know, that just simply means that the incumbent won by 9 percentage points or more in their district. If someone won by 9 percentage points, Pat, is that the person you really want to be going after?
In terms of, going after fellow Democrats?
Yeah.
I think I missed the boat on this one.
No. I probably didn't set it up that well. I guess my point is this, is that I don't consider a plus nine a safe Democratic seat. And Hogg's point is, Democrats are going to win that seat regardless because it's a plus nine. I don't think 9 percentage points in 2026 is all that huge of a margin. Go after people that are plus 26. If that's really what you want to do, I don't think they should be doing it anyway, but what say you?
I mean, this is kind of comes back to, Howard Dean and the 50 state strategy. And of course, at the time, there were people that were highly critical of that, saying, you've only got so many resources, you can only put them into so many areas. And Howard Dean saying, I'm sick of that. And we're going to compete everywhere because you never know how fortunes might swing. And I would point in the case of Democrats to 2006, where, again, it was one of those years where Democrats won seats that they hadn't won in nearly 100 years in some parts of like Southwest Wisconsin in the legislature. But, so it's one thing about being competitive in every district, or do you just invest in a few? But with David Hogg, I hear him most frequently talking about going after, older fellow Democrats who he thinks their time is up and they should move on. And he may be right. But again, you only have finite resources. I'd pick your battles more carefully and try to actually win control than I would take time going after, Steny Hoyer or somebody else in their 80s who, frankly, should have left. Yeah, but at least the seat's in their hands.
Trigvi Olsen, is plus nine Democrat, is that really a quote-unquote safe seat for Democrats going into 2026? And should Hogg be stirring the pot in the primaries?
Yeah, it's safe.
Say that again. You're a little soft.
Yes. Right. Yes, it's safe.
It's safe. So you're okay with it.
Now, that being said, honestly, David Hogg is reminds me of the Tea Party types that I used to meet in 2010. Oh, we're going to primary all the Democrats like Steny Hoyer that we don't like, or Gwen Moore, rather than spending money beating Brian Stile or Derek Van Orten. Like, so we can have a more progressive Congress. So let's divide things even worse. Like, David Hogg needs to learn the game he's in, because he isn't going to get any. The truth of the matter is 55% of Americans across the entire country aren't buying what David Hogg is selling, and most of them probably never will. So, like, get focused on converting people, not on trying to create purity tests within your own party, because you're no better than MAGA if that's what you're doing. Period. Stop. End of story. Might not be popular with some of the people in the audience, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Pat, I just think to Trigvy's point that already now what's happening in Texas, this redistricting, Democrats essentially going to be five seats down there because likelihood is Republicans have a better chance there. To Trigvy's point, Pat, wouldn't it behoove Democrats to it doesn't matter whether it's formerly the DNC folks or outside groups, focus on incumbent Republicans to try to increase, to first to get the majority and a bigger majority going into 2027.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I 100% agree with that. I think a lot of this conversation gives the appearance that Democrats are somehow on the ropes and have to compete in districts where they're typically up by plus nine. And I don't see 2026 like that at all, even after the political malpractice, the frankly criminal, nearly criminal behavior that Texas Republicans are doing right now. I think that there's going to be quite a Democratic wave in 2026 as Trump continues to, well, do whatever it is that he's doing. And frankly, I'm not even sure that he has the mental faculties to know what he's doing right now. So I think a lot of this is stuff that we're going to forget as we get closer to November, when Republicans are grasping to hold on to even a respectable minority at this point.
The latest from Axios today. Now, pardon me, three more House Republicans add them to a list of incumbents making a break for higher office. Representative Ashley Hinson, Republican of Iowa, is running to succeed Senator Joni Ernst in the Senate. Now that Ernst's planned retirement is official. In other races, Rep. Harriet Hegman, Republican of Wyoming, our very own Rep. Tom Tiffany of Wisconsin, indicated that they plan to run for governor very soon as well. So it appears that Republicans, Trigvy, are going to have their own problems trying to hang on to the House.
Yeah, if the election were held today, it wouldn't be very good, I don't think, for Republicans. But, I mean, the truth of the matter is, I was just doing Joe Trippi's podcast, which, for those of you who don't, that Trippy show, you should listen to it when it comes out. It's really good. Joe's really
good.
Joe's podcast is great. But if the election were held today, it'd probably be a pretty good night for Democrats. But the truth of the matter is, like, what is surprising to people that they're trying to make the elections not free or fair? I mean, that's what autocrats do. So, but you beat them not by complaining about it. You don't beat them by trying to win that game, by, okay, we're going to redistrict. Sure, maybe you do that. But the bottom line is, the way that you beat them is you get more people to support your side, so that you don't lose Wisconsin 3 by 5,000 votes. You win it by 5,000 votes. That means you need to get more people to support what you're selling. And again, David Hogg is busy wanting to fight internal fights while the Titanic sinks. So just keep playing music, David.
No ships, but there are armed people coming potentially to Chicago, maybe to Milwaukee, and the police union head welcomes it. We'll discuss that with Pat Trigvy on the other side.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Popoff Show. on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've become cartoonish. Thank you, Mr. Zomers. I appreciate that.
That was the Scooby-Doo title card.
No, it's very good.
It was.
Very, very, very good. We're talking about our favorite cartoons to open up the show here on a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 3 o'clock. No cartoon characters. Great broadcasters. Great political folks.
That's debatable. I don't know.
Well, at least one of our guests is a great broadcaster. Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota Studios there, where you can find him every morning on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 until 9. And Trigvi Olson, who joins us from Washington, D.C. area via StreamYard, and he is a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. First of all, guys, before we get back into a little bit of politics, I want your quick take on this. Our very Luke Mathers is all over this, sending out the latest from the Wisconsin lottery now. The Powerball jackpot has increased to $1.4 billion for tonight. Are you playing?
If I get out, yes. I'm reminded that my wife every so often just pushes me out the door and says, go touch grass. Go outside and play.
Well, yes.
You can't sit at this desk all the time. So, yes, I do intend to go out and get a ticket. I also know it's not the end of the world, but, you know, dreams can only cost you a couple of bucks.
Right, exactly.
I'll play along. Yeah. Why not?
Trigvi, you going to get a Powerball?
No.
He's so unenthusiastic about
it. Did you know your
odds of winning of being hit by lightning three times in a lifetime are greater than your odds of winning the Powerball?
But still a chance.
People win Powerball, and that's I have never heard of anybody being struck three times by lightning. So
nice,
there's a
nice
statistician who needs to find a new line of work.
Wow. I love it.
All right, Pat, I'll tell you what. When you win it, will you take me out on your new pontoon boat that you buy with your Legrès?
Yes, right after I fly you there, because it'll be in Tahiti.
Pat Kreitlow won. There you go. Just get on that. You're all set to go. All right, guys. Your quick take here on something a little bit more serious. We've seen in Washington, D.C., outside of where Trigvi is at proper, the mayor out there, which I think is weird and goofy. My opinion is they've got something on her or threatened her, and she's just capitulated. The mayor of D.C. now is basically saying, hey, if you want to take control of our police force in D.C., stay here as long as you want. We're fine with that. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance was in La Crosse last week saying, we'd love to come to Milwaukee if we got an invite. And now yesterday, the head of the police union in Milwaukee gave it. Pat Kreitlow, what say you?
Look, I just was finishing a story on this, which kind of ties in some of J.D. Vance's remarks from La Crosse last week, which, by the way, I can summarize in this manner. Be afraid of immigrants. Be afraid of immigrants. Be afraid of immigrants. You know, it's all about the crime.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They love to talk about how in the past couple of weeks, crime has plummeted in the nation's capital. It has nothing to do with the troops that are there. It does have a lot to do with the presence of people from some rather elite agencies, you know, the FBI, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the Drug Enforcement Agency, the Department of Homeland Security. People who have the power to make arrests are making arrests, while our National Guard troops are using a lot of our resources to pick up trash, to which the mayor there, Muriel Bowser, said, look, if you gave me 500 additional police officers, we'd see the same amount of arrests and gun recoveries and things like that. It simply reinforces the point that cities have been begging for the resources. They get austerity budgets from Republicans until things reach a certain level where the Republicans say, oh, you know what we need? We need troops on the streets or more law enforcement officers making arrests. Yeah, we could have used those law enforcement officers a long time ago, instead of playing these political games that have wasted millions of our tax dollars.
Trigvi, is this really about security, or is this about setting things up to basically rig the election via suppression in 2026?
I don't know that it has anything to do with suppression in the elections. I will tell you this, to Pat's point. So my daughter Ula wanted to go see the Washington Mystics. That's the WNBA team play. Mm-hmm. She's kind of really into women's basketball. The arena is over in Anacostia, which is not a very nice neighborhood. In fact, it's really bad neighborhood. And I don't go in the district often, and I'm driving Ula to the game. I had to drive down Constitution, and you get by the Capitol on the mall, and there's National Guard guys out and about where there is no crime, incidentally. There's a bunch of Capitol Hill staffers playing softball and stuff like that. You get over to Anacostia, not a National Guard person to be seen. And there's like muggings going on as you're driving by. And nope. It's just like the whole thing is just cosplay. I mean, yes. That's all it is. It's just cosplay.
It is. You got, and again, you've got the actual law enforcement folks from, you know, the FBI, the DEA. They're doing car stops for tinted windows and open alcohol containers and all that while being taken off whatever investigations that they were working on. This is just one more lesson in how these folks are just bad with our money. They're bad with our resources, but they sure know how to put on a TV show. How to put together political commercials and things like that. And that's the world that we're living in right now. In other words, I might be right, but I end up being wrong on election day when people go, oh, well, those troops are there. So I guess somebody's doing the right thing, even when they're not actually.
I think it's cosplay until it's not. And the latest I've heard is that now the Trump administration is saying we're not going to send the military into places like Chicago or Milwaukee. It's going to be ICE. And it's going to be a reason to round up people. Once we've seen in the past, many are citizens or permanent residents already. And I do think it's going to be something to suppress the vote in 2026, Pat.
Which is exactly what J.B. Pritzker, the Illinois governor, said yesterday. I highly recommend going back to his remarks. They were spot on explaining what they intend to do, especially for Mexican New Year celebrations, which is just repugnant.
Yeah. By the way, J.D. Vance being in La Crosse, he was very disappointed. His advance team did not take him to Ashley Furniture. So for whatever that's worth. Pat Kreitlow, appreciate you. You can listen to him every morning from 6 until 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Come on back. Trigby Olson joins us once again. On the other side, Farm News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
That's all, folks.
Welcome back to the Towerball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now. Past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a hump day Wednesday with our friend, ongoing contributor, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trigby Olson, who joins us via StreamYard from his home outside of our nation's capital. He's in good mood now. We played Go You Packers, Go Go, the 1996 rendition, which was Trigby's request. And
we don't need no darn luck because we all know the Bears still
suck.
I can't. We can say that. Yeah. You can say that on the radio?
I think so. Okay. Yeah. Good. In that context, I mean, yeah. Especially about the Bears. Normally we wait till the end of the show and I say, if we get to it, we'll talk about it. And I feel like I cheat Trigby too often. And so why not? Why not get into it in the heart of our Wednesday talk here with Trigby Olson, who is, by the way, a Green Bay Packer owner. And so we're so happy to have this insider knowledge. All right, Trigby, I'm just going to ask you the big Micah Parsons trade. Biggest acquisition, in my opinion, since Reggie White. Charles Woodson might be a candidate for that as well. But certainly making the biggest impact. This is a big deal. Getting one of the greatest defensive players we've seen right now from Dallas out from under Jerry Jones, now coming to the Packers. What was your initial reaction?
Ah, it's awesome. I mean, first of all, we took Jerry Jones to the cleaners. We traded him like a washed up nose tackle and 2 second round picks, essentially.
I would call Kenny Clark washed up.
Yeah, they weren't going to have him back next year anyway. Yeah, he's kind of washed up 10 years. I mean, I like Kenny Clark, but, you know, good luck.
All right.
Good riddance. Don't let the door hit you in the posterior on the way out.
Harsh.
No. I mean, they'll miss him, but they got, it's a young man's game, Todd, just like radio.
Well, then I'm on a SOL.
Or unlike radio, maybe, I don't know. We don't know if anybody's listening to us or not. Phone's not ringing today, Todd. But we haven't asked. It's a huge deal. He's in his prime. I mean, guys like that.
Micah Parsons,
right? How often does that happen? And how often does a city go through trading Luka Doncic for two used basketballs and a tall guy. Right. And then, you know, they trade Parsons for 2 second round picks and a washed up nose tackle. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. I just think I'm feeling very optimistic. Now, here's the really interesting part, Todd. As you know, my daughters and I, and our listeners know, because they were on when we were in Seattle. Yeah. My daughters and I are going to the game in Dallas.
Really?
That has been our, yeah. Wow. So we're going to be there when that's going down. Should be pretty.
That'll be exciting. That'll be, yeah, that'll be exciting. Well, a good for you. I think it's great. We had our very, and I know that you have met and talked with Mark Murphy before, now former Packers president. Our very own Luke Mathers was here yesterday telling the story. He was with family playing golf up in Door County over the weekend, Labor Day weekend, and they were just sitting there, getting off the first nine, and here coming in behind them, it was a six-some. Instead of a foursome, it was a six-some. And they're like, what's going on? It turned out it was Mark Murphy, who owns the course, this course up in Door County. And he was really? I guess, he was super cool. And Luke ended up asking, wait, what do you think about that trade? And Murphy said, yeah, basically, like, we really took it to Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, they did. He is a nice guy. I mean, the two times that there was one professional time I talked to him too, but two times that I ended up talking to him, once he was wandering around the parking lot talking to fans at the Redskin Packer game out in DC. And true story.
Wow.
And I ended up talking to him then. And then the second time I was on a Lambeau Field tour with my daughters, who were pretty little at the time. And the guy who was giving the VIP tour, we were down by the locker room and Mark Murphy with a couple other guys comes walking by and the guy's like, oh, there's Mark Murphy. Don't, you know, just kind of leave him alone. And my daughter, Kaya, I'm like, that's the president of the Packers. She walks over to him right away because she isn't paying attention to what the guy says. And it's like, hi, I'm Kaya. I'm a Packer fan. And he's like, oh, great. And he's like, she's like, can I get a picture with you, sir? And so we took a picture with him and he stood and talked to him. Like, he was awesome. Yeah. Then, of course, it was a total pain, which is why the tour guide didn't want him, because everybody else wanted the picture then with Mark Murphy, too. So, anyway.
Well, I mean, your story, Luke's story, it just reconfirms that Packer fans are very lucky that we've had a great run on the organization. When you look at Bob Harlan, Mark Murphy, now I forget the guy's new name. Anyway, they do a great job.
Policy.
Thank you. Ed Policy.
We don't know that he's a good runner or not, Todd.
Well, I've heard.
There's been some things. Like, we learned some things when we were up in Green Bay that were a little troublesome, but, you know.
Well, I think Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, has said
Mark
that he's
Murphy
good.
Was a good steward of the team.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of what you want from the president of the United States, which I would argue we're not getting now. You want somebody who's going to be a good steward of the country.
Right. We're not really getting that, no.
No, we're not.
Maybe Mark Murphy would be willing to step into the Oval Office for the last 2.5-3 years.
And I mean, honestly, how hard is it being president of the Packers, right? Like, yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, you got a bunch of minions like Brian Gutekunst to fleece the Dallas Cowboys. So you hire good people. LaFleur. And then your job, it's like being governor of Wisconsin, only even better, right? Like, you show up at a bunch of Chamber of Commerce and you're like, isn't it great to be from Wisconsin? The Packers score. The crowd roars.
Eagles
and the
soar.
Hall of Fame gets filled with Lombardi trophies some more.
Right. No, that's great.
By the way, do you know what the Mall of America and US Bank Stadium have in common?
What's that?
And AmFam Field, for that matter. What? Same number of championship trophies.
That's mean. That's mean.
I knew that's where that was going.
That's absolutely mean, throwing the Brewers. And the Brewers are still 5 games ahead of the Cubs. Thank you very much. In the NL Central.
I just think,
all right, quickly, because I want to get to a little bit more politics, but Sunday, first big home opener, big season opener against Detroit. The Lions, of course, defending Central champions. What do you think? How now you got, if Jordan, is Jordan Love to be healthy?
I hope the weather is better than when you and I went to see the Packers play the Lions at Lambeau Field.
It was bad.
It wasn't so good.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't good. What do I think? I don't know. You know, I mean, it's a big game to start the season, right? Like, you want to start it the right way. I don't have any hate on the Lions. And I really don't hate the Bears. But, man, I hate the Vikings.
Right? I think we all do, yeah.
But, yeah, I want them to beat. I mean, I think they got a good shot of beating the Lions. Like, yeah. It's going to say a lot. But it's the first game of the season, too.
By the way,
it's not how you're playing at the beginning. It's where you're at the end. Mm-hmm.
I think I misspoke. I think I said called the NFC Central, which is back from the old days. It's the NFC North. I'm thinking National League Central with the Brewers. That's what's on my mind right now. But, I feel good. I think that Parsons is going to be assuming. By the way, did you hear he's got to get a cortisone shot or something? Everybody took a huge like, oh my god, what's going on? And
in his back.
Yeah. Because he's got some vertebrae issues, and people
is
are
he
like
having back spasms.
No, he's like the legit. They said what number and everything between 4 and 5 or something like that.
So we got a damaged car?
Well, no, that's the big question. And I guess the people who claim to know say that all that was looked at and was cleared. It's just a run of the mill type of thing that he's going to be okay. So, but last I heard, he plans on playing. We are going to have our aforementioned sports reporter, Mike Clemens, in on Friday, last half hour of the show. He will have the injury report from the Packers by then, and we will find out exactly who is in and who is out for the home opener of the Green Bay Packers, of which you can listen to live on many of our stations across Wisconsin starting at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, WRCO. 100.9 FM in Richland Center, WCQM 98.3 in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, and WAUH 102.3 FM in Wautoma, our newest Green Bay Packer affiliate. This Sunday, Packers against Detroit, starting at 1 o'clock with a pregame show. Looking forward to that. All right, Trigvy, another Packer fan we've had the honor of talking to a couple of times on this program. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who is still the only officially formally announced candidate for governor in the state of Wisconsin, releasing a statement today saying that she has now completed her third consecutive year of traveling to all of Wisconsin's 72 counties. Her last stop on the county circuit tour was Wolf and Fox Winery at Calumet County, just last week. So there you go. Sarah Rodriguez continues her traveling around the state. You've talked about this before, and we're not here to endorse anybody, but I think we both are impressed with Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, as we have been with State Senator Kelda Royce. She's expected to announce, although that official announcement has not come around. But I think Lieutenant Governor here getting out and to all 72 counties, that's a big part of any successful statewide campaign.
Yeah, huge part. I mean, she's going to be a really strong candidate, I think. There's going to be some others in the race. You know, I mean, it will be interesting to see strategically how the various Democrats who get in the race sort of approach this, right? Because you got to win the primary to be in the dance, so you got to get a date to the dance. But on the other hand, you don't want to have to do what you have to do to get the date and then turn out, disqualify yourself from winning the dance contest, right? And, you know, there is that risk, I think, for the Democrats going too far to the left. To Pat's regular point, the Republican primary is really a primary about one guy. Do you get Donald Trump's endorsement? And, you know, I mean, is Tiffany going to be that guy? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Because he was in Labor Day parades, Trigvy. You probably didn't see this out there. He was in a couple of Labor Day parades, and I'm not sure if they thought this was just like a funny shtick or whether it's an indication of the way their early campaign is going. But they took one of his like congressional farm signs that said Tiffany for Congress, and over Congress, they just kind of did like a homemade sign in marker that said for governor. And I'm like, really?
Really?
Yeah. and he took it. He stood next to it and they took a picture of that and they thought that was something to like promote. But yet officially he's saying he's just thinking about it. I mean, I just thought that was, I guess it gets people like you and I to talk about it, but I just thought, really? That's how you want to start your campaign, is kind of a makeshift sign for governor? That doesn't sound very professional.
That guy, you know, my mom, when she was living, bless her soul, you know, he represented the 8th because the St. Croix County part of River Falls got taken into it. And then she moved up
the
to 7th. Hudson.
Yeah.
The 7th. Sorry. And, you know, I just remember having conversations with her about her. When Tom Tiffany first ran, you know, like his first ad was literally, I want to go to Washington to do what Donald Trump wants me to do. Right. Like, I just don't think he's a deep guy. Like,
no.
You know, yeah, I don't know. He doesn't, yeah.
Not the brightest bulb on the string, Tom Tiffany. We'll come
back. No, you know, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, Tommy was unpolished, but he was smart.
We'll come back on the other side of Trivi Olsen. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. From Superior to Milwaukee, Green Bay to Prairie to Sheen, every place in between. Glad to have you along with us on a Wednesday. Very exciting. Getting ready for the start to the Green Bay Packers season coming up on this Sunday. You can listen to the game starting at the 1 o'clock pregame show. Detroit at Green Bay across many of our stations on the Civic Media Radio Network, including in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, Kenosha, and Wautoma this year. So glad to have all those stations along. And if you're in those listening areas, you can listen to it. Remember, you can't listen to it on the Civic Media app because other people have rights to that. By the way, Trevi, I heard that you know, the NFL Red Zone for those diehard NFL people on TV, it was bought up by ESPN. I've heard now it's no longer going to be commercial free. So you subscribe to this Red Zone thing and you still got to watch commercials. I have you ever subscribed to that? I have not.
Yeah, because the thing is that you can't get the Packers out here unless you have a Sunday ticket.
Right.
In fact, when we first moved back, which would have been like 2007, right? We were in this, my wife was working for the Lithuanian embassy, so they had this awesome apartment overlooking the mall, but it was up on like the 13th floor and we only had this small balcony. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did before she got over there was called DirecTV, even though it was a chunk till the season, and put this huge freaking dish up there. So when you went out on the balcony, you couldn't see anything because the dish was up there. And honestly, if that apartment had been facing the wrong direction, I'd have been like, okay, we're moving. Because after all those years of living overseas, having to just listen on the radio, I was like, there's no way I'm not having the Packer games.
Not that there's anything wrong with listening on the radio, by the way.
I like listening on the radio from over there.
Wade
but
Larrabee.
Actually, you know, I am one of those guys.
Yeah.
I turn the sound off because I can't stand Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. I just as soon go to the dentist and listen to a drill as listen to those two.
Oh,
that's fantastic.
My roommates.
Flapper hats.
My roommates love playing compilations of those two being stupid.
They're morons.
Well, you can
So I listen to the radio while the game is on, and the radio is usually ahead of the TV.
Yeah. Well, there you go. See?
Which is kind of nice because I have my headphones on, and then I predict to my daughters what's going to happen next. They think I'm
You're a genius. Right?
Somehow I'm not able to do that when we're actually at the games that are live, but when we're watching on TV, I can usually tell them what's going to happen next.
Matt in Richland Center, one of our great UPS drivers who listens to us on the route, little salty over Trigvy once again picking on the Vikings. Matt says, quote, why is he always trashing the Vikes? Just when I start to like him again. Gosh, the Vikes are winning the North, Matt says.
Yeah, you can tell Matt it's all Quinn Armstrong's fault because every day when I'd wear my Packer hat to Greenwood Elementary, he'd take it and throw it up on the roof, and then I'd have to go up there and get it down.
You were a bully. Terry and
Terry.
Terry Parr checking in. Packers on the radio all the way. That's right. Wayne Larrabee, The Rock. Yeah, right.
I know. Max McGee and Jim Irwin back in the day.
I used to, because those, for my money, That was the most enjoyable. I mean, Euchre of baseball, but boy, yeah, Jim Irwin and Max McGee. Back when the Packers were bad, and Max would be, you know, X number of beers in by the third quarter, and some of the stuff he'd come up with was just fantastic.
You know, he married a girl from River Falls, Max McGee.
Really?
He'd always come for Christmas to
really?
Ezekiel. Oh God, yeah. It was like a Christmas present for everybody at Ezekiel Lutheran Church because Max McGee would be there. You know, it's like Christmas Eve. He's there with the wife and kids and his in-laws. He just wants to get home and everybody's right. Like, ah.
Yeah. No, I mean, they were just a great broadcasting duo back in the day, Max McGee and...
Do you remember Chi-Chi's, the restaurant's Chi-Chi's?
Oh, Chi-Chi, yeah, that's right. Restaurant? He was owner of that, yeah. Part owner, right?
Yeah,
Max
he
McGee.
Was. He owned the franchise, yeah. He's a really successful business guy.
Yeah.
He was a character. Sometimes his descriptions of stuff were just outrageous.
Yeah.
Probably not at... Federal Communications Commission
no.
compliant. Either,
no. But... I mean, the stories he told of some of those early Super Bowl games with Lombardi and Bart Starr and all those people, just crazy. Because
I remember.
Go ahead.
I was listening one time, and the Packers had this guy, Vince Workman, who was a running back.
Oh, yeah.
And they ran this play. It was when Holmgren first came, where Favre went back and kind of wrapped the ball around. It was a draw play. And Jim Irwin says, "What on earth was that?" And Max is like, "It's the enema draw." And Jim Irwin's like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's what Lombardi used to call it. We used to have that in the playbook. It's the enema draw."
Oh my gosh, that's
I mean,
fantastic.
The Rock is pretty good too.
Yeah, Rock's pretty
Max
good.
Max McGee was one of the best color commentary guys.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit like, you know, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck or Tom Brady, and these guys, they're not like Pat Summerall and Madden.
No.
Like
or
Howard Cosell.
They're more buttoned up today, a lot of them, you know.
Yeah.
I was
Tony Romo's pretty good though.
Yes, Romo is very good. Terry says, you know, I covered the team in the 90s run to the Super Bowl. Wow, I didn't know that. Good times.
Yeah,
that was that's fantastic.
It was good.
Well,
Trinity,
we appreciate you joining us today. Not exactly a lot of politics, but, you know, once in a while we got to have some fun, especially when the Packers get ready to kick off the
season. More of the world than politics, Todd.
Exactly.
Everybody needs to take a deep breath once in a while. I wrote about that on Substack. I got a hockey game tonight. That's going to be my hour and 15 minutes where I don't think about any of this that's going on in the world.
That's a good reminder that we all need to just step away once in a while from the hyper-partisan stuff or the political stuff or even the news and do something fun, whether that's sports or whether that's getting out for a walk or whatever it is. Take care of our mental health. Take care of each other, right? And appreciate the fact that we are in a great state like the state of Wisconsin. So
yeah, I don't have to think about Pat bullying me about my age or anything.
All right, Trigby, we appreciate you, my friend. Enjoy the Packers kickoff this week.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll talk soon.
Talk to you soon. Come on back. Right. What's worse, regular gas or premium gas on the other side? Don't go anywhere. It's the Almost Show at the Civic Media. Ready to go.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.